Hey, hey, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, that's Randy. Is that okay? Do that again.
Hey, hey, check 1, 2. It's Randy talking.
Okay, and then Jason.
Hey, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're lower than me, Randy.
I'm not lower. Am I lower?
Yeah, you are. Hey, hey. Check
okay,
one,
now
two.
Which one are you? Which one
Randy,
are you? Where's,
Randy,
where's
Randy,
the mic
right
going?
Here.
Right there.
Randy, Randy, Randy.
What we'll do is we'll turn it up a little bit.
Turn me up a tad.
Watch this right here.
Turn me up a skosh.
I feel good about that.
Right, ho, ho, ho. 1, 2, 3,
hey,
4.
Hey,
okay,
hey,
now
hey.
I'm going to say something. My name is KeithStubbs.com. That was perfect because I screamed it. And you
nice.
See that?
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're rolling.
Great.
It's the Stubbs Cast. That's the name of it. It's called the Stubbs Cast. Very popular. We got about 8 downloads
nice.
A month.
I love it.
All family members with me right now, the Sklar brothers, Jason and Randy. Glad to have you guys, man.
Thanks it's for having
me
us.
Talking to your family right now.
You know what? They want to know who you are. That's
I know.
That's why we're doing this.
I want to know who they are.
You know what? I'm from South Carolina.
Okay.
I'm a Southern boy.
Gamecocks.
Yes. Clemson Tigers. Citadel Ooh. Bulldogs.
Wow.
That's where I'm from.
All right. Citadel. Home of Stump Mitchell.
Stump Mitchell.
Right? Livonia Mitchell.
Yes. Yeah. Very nice.
There we
Citadel.
Go.
That's a great reference.
Come on.
So
Come
you
on,
guys are St. Louis gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Raised
right.
in St. Louis?
Yes. Born and raised. First 18 years of our lives.
Let's talk comedy for a second. Did let's you ever want to do it individually? Was it someone's idea to say, let's do stand-up comedy, or was it just, did it just happen? How did you guys do
it? I think we both loved it. It was like one of those hobbies that we both were students of it.
We were comedy nerds from an early age into even
how old?
13, 12.
No.
So you're like the kind of kids that 10. Would sit there and watch Carson and all that kind of stuff?
We watched Carson a little
we
bit.
Watched Letterman.
We loved Letterman in the early 80s, and we loved like once Rodney Dangerfield started doing a young comedian special on HBO, that's what really got us. So, like, we saw Seinfeld for, like, a five-minute chunk on that show.
Robert Townsend,
who I just went back.
Altman.
Jeff Altman.
I just
he pulled his pants on.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
He was just frenetic.
But then you went way back there. And it was
Barry Sobel?
Barry Sobel. Kenny Rogerson was on another
very
special.
Funny.
He was very funny. Kevin Meaney, we were huge,
huge
Meaney
fans. I think Meaney is when we had done comedy after then we became fans of Meaney and then Andy Kindler. It kind of transitioned into that. And we've met Meaney and got to hang out with him and just what a hilarious. And
were you a little starstruck when you met him?
Well,
yeah,
we were. The first time we went and saw him in St. Louis. We saw him and we like would
knew every joke.
Every joke.
Sat in the front row and probably mouthed every joke.
We were in high school and it was like, it was incredible.
When's the first time you hit the stage?
We were in high school. We actually went up and we did a show when we were like freshman, sophomore in high school. But then we really consistently did it. We started consistently doing it when we were 21. In St. Louis, we were supposed to go to New York to do
Funny Bone?
Yeah, Funny Bone in St. Louis.
And Catch a Rising Star down in Union Station for a brief period.
One summer, we did both Funny Bones. There was a South County Funny Bone, and then there was a West County Funny Bone. South County, I don't know if it's still around.
It's probably not still around.
But and then we did one down in and then we did the one downtown, and we would rotate through those three clubs one summer between our junior and senior year of
93.
College. And 93. We just worked it so hard. By the end of the summer, we were getting paid. We were doing like paid nights in St. Louis, and then we went back to Michigan where we went to school. We did it in Ann Arbor at the Ann Arbor Comedy Show.
Were you at University of Michigan?
Yeah. University of Michigan. Yeah. Yeah.
Fab Five before?
Fab Five. Yes. We were there Fab during Five. The Fab Five.
Oh God, that was exciting.
Amazing. Amazing.
Mitch no. Album?
Mitch Album, we never met him, but I'm sure
he knows us.
And we know him.
And now, like, because of our ESPN connection, I bet he knows who we are.
I like
we
him.
Wanted to write a book called Wednesdays with Maury.
It just maybe was inappropriate.
It was inappropriate.
It was a day late. And
well, let's talk sports for a second, if
sure.
we could. Not really sports specifically, but radio. You guys are doing a lot of fill-in stuff with Rome.
Awesome. That is the best.
Is that one of your big – Is that has that helped the podcast really
get, totally.
Take hold?
It's helped everything. Everything we do.
I feel so thing. Lucky. I mean, when I was doing his TV show, I was doing like little spots on Jim Rome is Burning, and I was on the forum. Which was awesome. And then Travis Rogers, who was his producer at the time, said to me, he was like,
when you did the forum one time, you were
he
there.
He said, would you want to be a part of and do the actual and guest host the radio show while he's gone? And I said, oh, my God, yes, of course.
Now, had you ever done anything like
never.
That before?
Never. And then I basically said yes. And then I was like, oh, my God, what did we just sign up for? Because you don't know what it is. And I'm glad I didn't know enough about Rome.
We listened to him some, but I don't think we understood how rabid the fan base was and how
much they developed
their own language.
I think it would have freaked us out. But because we kind of went into it not eyes fully wide open, we just did our thing, and it was great. And then they were like, oh, we love this because it's different from what he does. It's different from what most people do when they come on the show.
Now, the producer approached you guys.
Yes.
Did you know Jim?
Yeah, I knew him from doing the forum.
Were you friends?
Friendly. I said friendly. I mean, it's hard. He's a tougher guy to get to know. I mean, he's kind of got his own life.
He's got so much going on. He's so busy.
Is he kind of surrounded with his people, kind
of? No, he's himself. But, like, you know, we don't hang with him outside of, like, the life that we have. He's got a family, and he's working all the time.
When you know that you're going to sub for him, let's say you're going to sub for him this coming Friday.
Yeah, week from Friday.
Week from Friday on the 26th.
Okay, so you are subbing for him, and you know that in advance. Do you prepare for that now?
Not now, but, like,
we wait to the week of, so it's relevant to, like, what's happening. And probably, like, 3 or 4 days out, Randy and I start collecting stories and start jotting down thoughts on what our takes would be on those stories. And we really prepare. We probably over-prepare.
Well, you were just really open your eyes to what's happening in the world of sports and pop culture?
And we try and take what's weird in the world of sports. What's bizarre? Like, you know, when Real Madrid signs a 7-year-old kid, we're like, what's our take on that? What would we say to that? And we start going through all kinds of stuff. We find out.
We write down sort of ideas and stuff, and then we jump off those ideas. We come up with an outline. Like, here are the takes we want to talk about. Here are the people we want to call.
And it's basically 12 segments, basically. When you're guest hosting Rome, it's 4 segments an hour, or 3 segments an hour.
Are they 10-minute segments?
Or is it 12 or 16? I think it's 12. Approximately 12 long segments. And some are 13, some are 7, some are 9. It's just a mix. Top of the hour is usually longer. And what we try and do is, you know, you're going to have callers. We know that something's going to happen each week that we cannot predict, that's going to be like this runner that's going to run through the whole show. So we just hope we sort of plan for that to happen. Otherwise, we'll prepare about 10 to 12 takes that we love. We know we're going to do a couple interviews. We usually set up a fake interview or two with a friend of ours who can do some really great sports impressions.
Now, who is that?
That's our buddy Chris Cox, or our friend Jason Nash. They both do great. Our friend Jason Nash does a hilarious Bruce Jenner, which is so funny and so weird and subservient.
I've heard it.
It's basically like just...
like he's got to take a crap in the backyard in a Wheaties box because, you know, Chris Kardashian makes him
he's
do it.
He's talking about changing his name to Bruce Kardashian. I mean, just hilarious how emasculated he is.
Exactly.
So he's great. And then our buddy Chris Cox does, like, an incredible Jerry Jones, an amazing Tiger Woods. He's just amazing.
He can do
to
racist
to.
Vin Scully. That's hilarious.
He's incredible.
So he knows that you guys are on next week. And
yeah, we just emailed him, and we're like, hey, let's work something up. And usually we just wait to see what's happening. Like, if something's relevant that week to any character that he does, we'll plug it in.
Where do you do the show? Is it from Rome Studio?
We do it from his radio. Not from the TV studios, but he has a radio studio that's awesome and set up in L.A., and it's great. And you just kind of – you walk into that system. We know we do our podcast. You're doing your podcast right now, and it's cool. But then you walk into, like, a real premier radio network studio with, like, engineer here, Alvin DeLauro. We get his whole crew. Jay Stu, Alvin DeLauro.
Oh, the whole crew's there.
They're all there.
They're all there.
Kyle Brand is there some days. Kyle Moss and David Whelan, they're there. And so all of a sudden you have this awesome support system, and they're screening the emails and pulling good emails. They're screening calls, and suddenly in our ear,
Alvin's got all the music, playing drops when we need him to play drops.
Are the emails up on, like, a monitor?
No, he prints them out on sheets. It's old school. It's so cool. And he decides what to bring us, and they're really funny, and we read them for the first time on air. And you realize also how good Jim Rome is. Like, when you do that show for 3 hours, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's incredible. He's doing it every day, and he's captivating, and he's interesting.
What I love about him is he's created a universe, and that's what we try and do with everything that we do, is create our own universe. That's why when we come out and do this show and people yell Henderson, you know, we come and do a live show here at Wise Guys, and people yell that, or we sell Scarborough Country or Henderson T-shirts, or people get into the lore of our podcast. We love it because we're like, that's what we tried to do.
I feel like we were influenced by, we didn't want to copy Rome, but we were so impressed with that, and we felt like we could do that.
Maybe the template?
Yeah, even just the notion that you can create a language that followers can come to and speak and share, and then use that as a way to communicate with each other separate from us.
And you use his language on his show, right?
Sometimes. Our fans on that show are called Sklones. Sklar clones, you know? Like, a little bit. And we use what, you know, but we don't try to be him. You know, we come on the show and people ask us. Like, we did a thing a while ago as a bit, just a joke on that show about Ichiro being this, like, mysterious guy. We developed, like, this Ichiro quote machine where, like, anything weird happens, if we want to get Ichiro's thought on it, they start to play a little Japanese music, and we do, like, a little, like, haiku Japanese, like, poem. And we say that that's the Ichiro Quote Machine. And people ask for it every time we say we're going to host the show. We're like, are you going to fire up the Ichiro Quote Machine? And that's something that we created.
That's
on
your
that
own
show.
Thing.
Yeah.
Created on the show. Have so you thought about doing your own sports show?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that was, we had hoped to like maybe do that. You know, we would love to, like, always get, like, the slot after Rome or something
would
like that.
Would Rome produce something like that, maybe? Has that been...
You know, we haven't really talked to him about that. I don't know. I don't know what he would do. I mean, I know that he is... His world is more straight-up sports, and sometimes it's funny. Ours is straight-up funny, and sometimes it's sports.
Right.
And, you know, we can hang and have an interview. We can talk with, you know...
Do you think there's people that are, when you do... Because you guys are pop culture, a lot of... very entertainment. More so, more entertaining than I think... Being real specific with sports, are the sports nuts? Does that bug them?
Yes. Probably. Yes. I'm sure.
I'm sure
there are people who
I'm
hate
sure
us.
They hate us.
So like, just shut up and talk about the Cavaliers or
right.
whatever, you know? And for those guys.
And also, we don't talk smack. And that show is a lot about talk.
I mean,
that
put it this way.
Like dudes ripping on each other. The smack off is really big. We don't do that. We just make fun, poke fun.
I mean, we did a pilot for a show on NPR, on a local NPR in recently in L.A., KPCC, which is Pasadena NPR, that was us explaining sports to an NPR audience. So far less specific, but still really funny, and you could be smarter with it because it was on NPR, and it went really well. And I think the goal is to maybe make that a national show. So if we could do that, that actually would be ideal for us because it's NPR. It would be us.
Is there money in that, though?
Sure. There's some, but
maybe not a ton, but it's...
I think an NPR crowd would come see you, like, in a theater and come, you know, they would come support you.
First of all, an NPR show you would do once a week, and they're okay with that. Whereas, like, I think another show, you would have to do it every day.
Right.
And in which case, then we could never go do stand-up. I mean, we don't want to be... We are fortunate that, you know, we get a chance to do some TV stuff. We get a chance to do some film stuff. We're really lucky. We work in a lot of different, like, entertainment media. We would hate to... put all that to rest.
Are you cool with that, or would you? Is there something you really, really want to do? I mean, because you're doing a lot of different stuff right now.
I think we want to do movies.
I want to do movies and TV. I would love to create a sitcom or a show, not necessarily based around us, but something that it has our voice and that we're characters in, an ensemble cast thing. We would love to do that. We'd love to write a movie for ourselves to be a part of, for other people to be in. You know, we love that kind of stuff. We love creating like that. And so I would love to do a sports – I would love to do a TV version of our podcast. That's something we talked
about. Are you into sports as you think – as it seems like you are? You guys are just – you guys are wrapped into it, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's cool. Yeah, it's just fun. It's like
well, you guys – I'll tell you this. You guys are an acquired taste because there was a time – and I talked to my wife about this. I'm a huge, huge fan of you guys. But at the very beginning, I was like – and I've been doing comedy a long time, too. Like, it did not resonate with me.
Sure.
For whatever reason, I'll tell you where it resonated with me, because I knew who you were.
Right.
And I'd seen you on television. Was one day, I was driving down the road, and I was listening to you as you subbed for Rome.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. And I went, oh, my God. And it clicked.
Well,
it
I think
clicked.
It's,
but
well,
before that, it was like, eh.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's taken us a while to figure out. That doesn't surprise me, because I think it's taken us a while to figure out our voice in comedy. I think the first... whatever, 8-10 years of what we were doing was fine, but it was the beginning of us.
Do you generally agree?
Yes, I think we do. In life, are you talking about,
no,
or on this?
Well, in life of all comedy?
Yes, I think we do. I mean, you know, we study comedy. We love comedy, and we study it, and we believe it takes 20 years to be good. Like, it takes so long to get good at comedy, and you don't know who you are for a really long time. If you think you do, you're wrong. I mean, if you take a look at anyone, take a look at the best of the best. Take a look at Louis C.K. For years, he was just doing this hilarious, absurdist stuff. But then when he started, like, talking about his own life and getting honest about his life and not even writing jokes, but just writing his – talking about his innermost thoughts about his own kids and his life and his family and what – who he was, he shot to the sky. He was – you know, he's the best of the best right now. And so – you know, it took him years to figure that out.
I think it takes people longer than you think. I think, but when you start out, you think you're the prodigy.
Right. You think like, oh, I got it. Because
or you get laughs. I mean, you know, we would walk on stage and we get laughs. We did TV. We got laughs. So you think you're doing all right. But then, like, we go back and you look at the old stuff. I look at our first stand-up special on Comedy Central, and I was like, man, that was 2001. It was good. I liked it. I liked some of the stuff we did. But, like, you know, we've moved way beyond that now.
And I think even still to this day, I think about some of our bits, and I'm like, we don't have to do that anymore. We're constantly trying to change what we're doing and evolve it to a place that represents exactly who we are right now. I mean, that's what we try and do.
And sometimes it makes it harder for you on stage. Like, sometimes we find ourselves even headlining a club going, I don't know if this is going to work, but we need to try this. We need to push this. We need to turn this into something this weekend. And to me, that's the only way you grow as a comedian.
But through the podcast, you find like you're really finding your audience, yes, and your people.
I think our audience is energized in ways that it hasn't. Like, there are four people out in this audience tonight that drove down from Wyoming to our show. Now, we've had fans before, but to motivate them to actually get in a car and drive a few hours down to see us, that's never happened. And that happens. Like, people will fly to see us, which is unbelievable. Like, we were in Denver and somebody flew from Kansas, a couple flew from Kansas City. And we were in Minnesota and people drove down from Calgary. I mean, it was amazing.
And you think about it, like, when you go to a club now.
Or Winnipeg, I mean.
When you go to a club, usually your favorite show is like podcast fans. And they're attentive. They laugh.
They buy your merch afterwards. It's unbelievable.
They buy drinks. They hang out. They're here to have the.
They're respectful to the club.
I think it's very important for comedy, for the crowd, for it to be an event for them to be there that night.
That's why sometimes it's hard headlining in New York. Not doing a small set, but headlining in New York City. Because New York City, people are, whatever you're doing, if they even come to your show, that's like one out of four things that they're doing that night.
Right.
They went out to dinner, they go to your show, then they go to a party, then they go to a club. It's like, it's not special. For the people who are coming out to see these to our shows this weekend, it's what they're doing. It's a big deal.
Did you ever think you would get to this point?
You hoped. I hoped it, but I never assumed it, but like you just hoped. I remember there was a, you know, when we first started out doing comedy, I just wanted to have, you know, 20 minutes that we could count on that would always get laughs. Then I was like, I want to have 45 minutes, enough to headline that we love. Then I was like, I want to be respected by our peers, by people we know. And then after a while, I was like, I want to develop a following that of people who really are there to come out and see us. And that's finally starting to happen.
And that's because of the podcast.
I believe the podcast.
I think it's everything. I mean, Cheap Seats went a long way. Our show on ESPN Classic went a long way to develop a really solid
satellite radio. Sirius
helps us out.
Our stand-up thrown on Raw Dog and the channels on Sirius.
It's great. And then guest hosting Rome does it. And then the podcast does it. And then people will be like, I saw you guys on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I was like, I had to check this out. Or I saw you guys on Entourage. I loved it.
Or they heard John Stubbs' cast.
Heard us on the Stubbs' cast.
Some of your relatives may hear us.
Your uncle said that, and then he came.
And then he came. So we're good.
Jason and Randy Sklar, your podcast, how do people find it?
It's called Sklar Bro Country. You can get it for free on iTunes or go to earwolf.com. You can hear it. It drops every week on Friday, and it's a new episode every week. We're going to do our 56th coming up next week. And
it's evergreen. You can go back in the back catalog, and we have great guests like Jay Moore did it, Amy Poehler,
John Hamm did it, Janine Garofalo, all good people. And so
Doug Benson, and a lot of people who've been here.
And even comedians you may not know, like Matt Bronger Matt Bronger's been here, but like Moshe Kasher and
Rob Delaney, who's
Delaney's coming on next week. Funny, great guys. Like you'll sort of
Matt Walsh and Matt Besser, two of the original guys from Upright Citizens Brigade, they each did it. You know, really cool people talking. Jimmy Pardo, who I know has been here, he did it. And, you know, you hear these guys, and we have live bands in the studio sometimes.
Where do you guys record?
In Hollywood.
Just went into a new studio, basically. It's like Sunset and Seward, which is kind of in Hollywood.
Is it as fancy as this set up here?
It's not as fancy as this. Few things are as fancy as this.
You don't get as fancy as this.
This is the Four Seasons of podcasting. Exactly.
I appreciate you guys taking the time, man.
Thank you so
much. I'm truly a fan, and thanks for – I know that you got other things to do, but Jason and Randy Sklar, the Sklar Brothers, check them out, man.
Thanks, man. You have a great club, and keep doing what you're doing because you treat comics really well, and it means a lot to us.
I appreciate it. Thanks guys.